Well, bless you all this morning. My father's gone back, but he sends his love to you, all of you, and my mother as well. She's gone. But hopefully we'll see them sooner rather than later. Shall we stand and sing 217, "I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord"? Let's just bow our heads in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, with open, Lord, and humble hearts, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you can keep, Lord, what we've entrusted to you until that hour, Lord. And Lord, we just pour our all on the altar this morning and look unto you, Lord, and just come before you in worship, Lord, and praise, Lord, to exalt your name, Lord,
Hallelujah.
Above every other name, Lord, this morning, Lord, and give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord. And we just pray a blessing upon those that are away, Lord. We thank you for keeping them, Lord, in the palm of your hand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's sing 272, "Like the Woman at the Well."
Satisfied, and
just as we were singing that second verse, there are millions in this world who are seeking the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. So sometimes you can get sucked into the things of this world and they feel like they give you that pleasure, but at the end of the day they come to that same spot every time. It's nothing, they just do not satisfy. And we just thank the Lord. Let's sing 290, More and More About Jesus.
More about Jesus, would you know? More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus.
See you, Sister Anna, that you're back off on your feet. Lord bless you. Let's sing 294, What a Fellowship.
Thank you.
We'll sing 298. It was early in the morning. And then I'll ask Sister Mel and Sister Shirley if they'd bring that item this morning. And if there was any others items as well. Be a reality very soon.
many times now beneath a heavy load. On bended knees to God, a prayer I prayed. As I knelt there on the floor, He reminded me once more that the answer is already on the way. Oh yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. My Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray. As we rest assured, the answer's on the way. If there's a special need within your life, my friend, and you're seeking for an answer every day, if by faith you'll start believing, mighty soon you'll be receiving, for the answer is already on the way.
Sisters, I'm just going to ask Brother Lee if he would come up and take the prayer requests. And if you have any prayer requests, we're going to get Lee to take them, because at least he can write them down fast enough.
Down fast enough. My problem is trying to remember it quick enough. One thing I was thinking about, I was about today at home and remember Brother Denning from Vanuatu. Hands up who can remember his surname. If you remembered it, Jim. What was it?
Leo.
Leo. Right. Because it sounds like Leo sounds like a Christian name. But that's a surname. But his uncle's name is Brother Leo, which is a surname. Related, but they're in different ways. But however, do we have anybody that has any prayer requests that may need to be prayed for? Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have to write that down. I already have. But that's all right. Do we have any others? Boils. Right. Boils. What's the name?
Jess and Finn.
Any others? Okay. Well, I've got down here Sister June Mounder, who's husband has passed on that we knew very well. Most of us did. Known him for many years. We'll meet him again when we get up where he's going to be. And there's Helen Younger, as June mentioned, and she has repairs needed in her body. And she also, just remember her, because she lost her husband some weeks ago. Paulette Mocklin, I had her down because she's living on her own somewhat in Levin there. And so we just remember our sister Paulette, that the Lord will be with her and her family, whom we also know. I've got down here Thaddeus, who may come to preach here while he's here in New Zealand. But just what the Lord desires, may it be so. I've got down here Howard's preaching wherever the Lord will take him to be, that he guides what Howard needs to know and to choose where to preach. I've also got down here those that have suffered things like fire and flood, rock falls, mudslides, criminal offending, lost families, all of those sort of things. And why was I praying for them? Number one is because they need it. Number two, because they may not know where to ask for help. And I don't mean just the police or people that help in a social way, but don't realize that by committing it to the Lord has an answer. As the song that our sisters just sung, the Lord's already on the way. He knows about these things, but the Lord wants us to ask. And don't forget the Boyles problem for healing, to do with Jess and Finn, Sister Mary's part of her family. Now, shall we just bow our heads and ask our Lord to undertake? Lord Jesus, we don't come before you because it's Sunday morning, it's a thing we do and it's part of what we generally do. It's more than that, Lord, in a big way. More than that. You know what I've read out, Lord, and I just think about the ladies that have lost their husbands and ask that you just comfort them as you will. We know you will because you are God. And you know they loved you. And you will be their comforter. But it behoves us to pray for these people in need. And Lord, I'm just thinking about those that need a healing like this Jess and Finn. And ask that you undertake for them. And Lord, just Brother Howard's situation of where he should be, because the Lord may desire him to be here or there or wherever, may the Lord lead. And we ask in our own lives, Lord Jesus, that you will be there to help us. Why? Because you want us to help others. Lord, each one of us meet different people at different times under different situations and they need help. But Lord, I've been exercised of recent times about people that have had some calamities in their lives, in floods and fire and slips and mudslides and all of those kind of things, and they may not know you. Lord, through these things that have happened, may you come to the fore and may people realize that they've got to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God, is Lord, and he is coming. We know that, Lord. And a lot of people don't want to know about it. They think, what's that to do with my problem? But it's everything to do with the problem. So we pray for people that are in need of the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, most of all, we here and those listening want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for all of the blessings that you give us. where we go, where we tend, how often we think about you, and not to be casual. Lord, to be there for you, that we can help others. You through us, Lord, can help others. So, Lord, we don't pray with casual understanding. We pray with a meaning we were told to pray. Lord, when you were here on earth, Jesus Christ went up on the mountains many times and prayed to God. Lord, if he needed to, and he said he did, we need to too. So help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, sons and daughters of God. Encourage and help and heal the people around the world and those that we know about. And say, thank you, Lord, for doing it. May we be positive in what we're praying about and look for the result. Because you are the Lord God Almighty, all-powerful. We praise your holy name. Amen.
I will just sing one more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. And it's 301, Hosanna.
Praise the Lord. See, I'm feeling like I do. Just one moment. We have about 5 very warm days ahead of us in the 31s. So be ready. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be here, and we just pray the Lord will bless us this morning. I've just been to Christchurch and back since I've seen you. I went to the funeral of Brother Ken Mounter, and they all send their love in Christ to you. It's a very good service. We had about 150 people come, and it was a good time of fellowship, actually. I've met a bit of a reunion, I guess. They have David Owen there, and Sarah Owen, and Albert and Bronwyn, and myself, and a whole lot of others, you know. But it was a good time, and a good time of fellowship. And I felt it went very well, and I think Brother Greg spoke well too. Praise the Lord. So we just thank the Lord for that. We had a really nice time on Saturday night around at the Ward's home, around the table after tea. And we had two other brothers there from Nelson. And we just started speaking about the Lord, and it was just a very rich time of fellowship. As the brothers said, those brothers were just literally drinking in everything. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had those times? It's just it was so wonderful. And it was just the Lord being there. It wasn't ordered or planned, it was just happened. And we just thank the Lord for that. Praise be to God. And so while I was there, Brother Michael, Servant Jack, rang me and said that I'll know tomorrow whether I have to go to Melbourne or not. So I just pray the Lord will have his way. I can leave on Wednesday if I do. It's not much time, is it? That the Lord will prepare us and help us. As Lee's prayed, appreciated that, Lee. That I'll be found doing what he wants me to do. The youth camp, I believe, is on a place called Phillips Island. And the brother who's meant to be coming can't get a visa. He's having trouble getting from Africa. Sometimes those places can be slow as a wet week. So he may not be able to. So I said I would fill in as they requested. I'm a spare tire ministry. I just believe the Lord will have his way, whatever he wants. It's not what we want. So just keep us in prayer. Maybe that weekend when I'm away, Brother Thaddeus will be here to preach for you. I'm hoping that can be arranged. And so that'll be good. He's in New Zealand at the moment. And he's a good little minister, a good preacher. So may God just show us his will. Even if I am here, he'll probably still preach. So, but I have on my heart a message to speak, a series of messages to speak. I've got four sermons. I'm not going to preach them all this morning, so you're quite safe there. But it's a series of sermons which I believe is so needful right now. And it's concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just had a real quickening about that I should be doing this. And I just pray that'll be a real blessing. So I want you to really listen. I don't want you to listen as teaching, in a sense. Oh, we're learning a lesson. Apply it to your own heart. Because I have a lot of material and I'm going to move fairly fast. And I just want the Lord to really quicken it to us. I did preach this quite a few years ago, and it went out on the internet. We had 700 hits a week on these sermons. So it was very popular. In a sense, when I say popular, it was on the hearts of the people. There's a lot of questions out there. People don't know what to think. Do I have the Holy Spirit? How do I get the Holy Spirit? What's the Holy Spirit anyway? So I just thought it'd be really good to go through this. And the four sermons are, why do we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Number one. Number two is, how to prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Very important questions. Number three is, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And number four, which I'm asked all the time, how do I know I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And we're going to put it in the scriptures, everything that's spoken about, even things Brother Branham has said. And I just believe it'll be a real help to us all, including me. I just get so blessed going through it. So to begin with, I wonder if we could read from Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. We just stand to our feet just for this reading, so to respect to God's word. Romans 8, 9 to 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, I want right at the outset, I want to get this word dwell right. We're not talking about a little anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's good. We're talking about God dwelling in you. If I come and dwell at Brother Peter's house, I just don't go and have a cup of coffee and leave. If I'm dwelling there, I bring my suitcase and I stay there. When God comes into you, he wants to live in you. He doesn't just want to anoint you. There's so many people in the Bible who are anointed, but actually they went funny. They never got God in their heart. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than just an anointing. It is an anointing, of course, but it's where God wants to dwell in you, take up residence, and take full possession of you and control of you. So just keep that word dwell. The Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, that is a sobering thought. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, Paul says, he is none of his. In other words, you're not connected yet. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell, there's our dwell again, in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So if we're waiting for our bodies to be changed, I think some of us around here need it. I do. You need to have the Holy Spirit in you for this to happen. We'll get on to that later. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's been graciously given to your people, especially in this last day of such unbelief, Lord, and wilderness, terrible things happening, Lord. We're so glad you sent the Holy Spirit back to the church. We pray, Lord, that we'll be all personal partakers of thy Spirit. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you bless this word to those here and those listening afar. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This subject on the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the very kernel of the gospel. The kernel's the very inside, the whole thing is wrapped around this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, we'll see as we go on. It's the final stage of redemption, which guarantees your place in the rapture. You need to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be in the rapture. God's not just coming for people who go to church, but those who have the seal of God on them, have the fire of God, the mark of God on them. He's coming for those ones. It's also the most debated subject in Scripture, because Satan fears it. This very important subject has generated the most questions of today. And Satan has tried to make it complex to keep people away from receiving it. The subject of the baptism of the Holy Ghost needs to be approached, as I said before, in four sections, and which I've told you about. Why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how to prepare to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how do we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and how Do we know we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? That is really important. When you go on an airplane, just in a far lesser way, but you're going on an airplane, you're queuing up, you want to know that you have your ticket. You want to know that your fare has been paid for you to get on that plane. This rapture, this taking up, as the Bible speaks about much, is going, you've got to have a ticket, and the ticket is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the token, we could say. So today we want to address, why do we need the Holy Ghost? And firstly, it's the resurrection power in you. And brother and sister, you know as well as I do, there's no power in you. There's nothing you can do. You're just as weak as a kitten, so am I. We need power from on high. Who believes that? We need God's power to come inside of us and do something and help us. Without the resurrection of these bodies, these ones, without the resurrection of these bodies, our faith is all in vain. No matter how much we rejoice, how much we go to church, how much revelation of the word we have, the question is, will we rise again? That's what matters. When Brother Ken went down into the grave the other day, the question is, will he rise again? And I believe he will. And Job expressed that concern. We turn to Job 14:13. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me." Then he says, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Good question. "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Now Job, I was telling my wife this morning, Job had a tremendous revelation of the coming of the Lord and the resurrection. We will speak about that more. Now according to the scripture, the Holy Ghost in you is the only thing that can raise you up. Not your degree, not your qualifications, not how much you've done, and those are all wonderful things. The only thing that's going to pull you out of that grave is to have the Holy Ghost in you, dwelling in you. Our first reading in Romans 8:11 confirms that truth. We read Romans 8, verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell," there's your dwell, "in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies." How? How's your body going to be quickened, made new again? "By His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Not because you're a good preacher, not because you go to church every Sunday, not because you do good things. You're going to be raised out of that grave. And I want to know, like Job, I want to know that I'll live again, that I'll come out of that grave. And he said, "By the Spirit that dwelleth in you." That is the resurrection right inside of you. Powerful. Even when you die and you're put in the grave, that a quickening power remains in you. Who believes that? It really does. So it's really an incredible thing. We're waiting for that change. This is a supernatural act of God, that a person would be changed and pulled out of the grave. Even though they be dust, even though they have worms crawling through their body, the power of God will resurrect that body. They'll have a brand new body and they'll be standing right next to their graveyard. I believe this. Do you?
Amen.
That's what we come to church for. We want to know, will we live again? So it's very important. In 1 Corinthians, verse 15:53, the Bible says, "For this corruptible," that's us, this is the corruptible, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So we see that there's something going to happen. I'll read it from the Amplified Bible. "For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, which is freedom from death." Praise the Lord, somebody. Somebody say amen. We're going to be living out of these bodies. We're going to have a brand new body, and it may be before next week.
That's right.
It may be before next week. So we may have big plans. Our plans should be this way. Build our treasures in heaven. That's where our zeal and desire should be. So the quickening power is in you. And not only that, it stays in you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost here, when you're walking around live, and then the day comes where God takes you home, that quickening power that's in you goes down into that grave and is still there. You don't believe me, do you? You do. That's good. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 13. We'll find out whether it does or not. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. So he's dead and he's buried. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. So the enemies come into the same place where he was buried. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, a brother or somebody, that behold, they spied a band of men. Maybe the Moabites sent out a group of men to spy the land. They saw them coming, and they had to do something quickly. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, what happened? Paul, what happened? When he went down into the grave, Elisha went down, the dead man went down into the grave, and the minute his body touched Elisha's dead bones, he came alive and he stood on his feet. The anointing of God was in his bones still, and that's what you need when you go down. And before you go down, if he comes before you go down, before you die, we want to have it in us so that we can go up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says, when the man was let down, touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. That's the gospel we preach. That's what the experience we must have. And Job knew by revelation the resurrection powers in Christ as Redeemer. Let's turn to Job 19. Job 19. Oh, sorry. Just bear with me. Job 19 says, it says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Who told Job that? The Holy Spirit told him. "And that he shall stand in the latter day on the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Isn't that wonderful? We're going to see him, brother and sister. We're going to see him in our... If we go down into the grave and God pulls us out, we're going to see him with our eyes because of the resurrection. So Christ the Redeemer was alive in Job's day. It says in John 8:58 that before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was alive before Abraham. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He's God Almighty, God manifest in the flesh. And all the Old Testament believers were depending upon their Redeemer. When the Redeemer came, he said, this is what he said in John 11:25. "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, this is where you get your resurrection from, Christ. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. There we are. If you're dead, you're going to live again.
Amen.
You've got to get that Redeemer in you. You've got to get him inside of you. He's got to dwell in you. The same power God used to raise the Holy Ghost believer, he did it on himself. If I can say it reverently, Jesus test drived it. He did. This is what he says. He said that he was going to John 10:17, and see. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now these are big statements. No man taketh it from me. No Roman took Jesus. No scribes or Pharisees took Jesus. He says, but I laid it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. And you know what, brothers and sisters? He did it. Amen. You can make statements, but God backed it up. He raised himself from the dead. And if he can raise himself from the dead, he's able to raise you from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's really wonderful to know that. So he proved that he is truly the resurrection and the life. If we die with the Holy Ghost, we are guaranteed a body change. If we're living with the Holy Ghost, when he comes, we shall be changed also. How do you know that, Brother Howard? Let's see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to be dead when he comes. Because a Christian doesn't die. A Christian sleeps. And Paul says here, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be... shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? We shall be changed. It's amazing. This is a wonderful gospel we have, brothers and sisters. We should be rejoicing and praising the Lord that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. We are the Lord's. And in 1 Corinthians 4:14, we see here also, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. It's going to be a wonderful time. Do you know we're going to see millions, maybe billions of believers coming? Can I have a good song service, Brother Lee?
Amen. I'm looking forward to it.
What a day. What singing there'll be up there. Oh, hallelujah. And so we see he'll bring them with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And I believe so far we are it. We're the ones. Because we're still here and the Lord is ready to come. We shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we will not go before them. If you see the translation. We will not go before those that are in the grave. Believers that are in the grave because they are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, those in the grave, shall rise first. They're going to come out of those graves perfectly whole. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those that came out of the grave. We're going to be caught up with them, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you know we're real close to that time, Sister Bubs? It's really close. I mean, you've got a new house, it's very pretty and all that, but you may not be in it too long, because the Lord will be here. And it'll be far better to go to be with him. So we see the baptism of the Holy Ghost is very important to get out of the grave and to be resurrected. If we're alive when he comes, our bodies need to be changed. Now here's another important thing why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need it because it will preserve you. I want to tell you right now, there's a lot of preserving needed in this world today. People need to be preserved by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to say this, without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will not be able to stand. Too powerful. So many powerful devil spirits in this world. The world is oozing with demons. It really is. You just look out the window, and wherever you go, you just see the influence of Satan, the darkness of this world getting a hold of people. You need the Holy Ghost to keep you. People fail to understand this. You can lose what God has given you. You know that? Or listen to this. You can actually lose it. You say, oh, Brother Howard, how can that happen? Well, Jesus said you can. Absolutely. The Bible says that the word can be taken out of your heart. Jesus said so. Let's turn to this in Matthew 13:18. He, therefore, the parable of the sower, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and annoy with joy receiveth it. Oh, this is a great word. Listen to what he says. Yet hath he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So Jesus said, it can happen. So some might say, well, the word keeps me. The word keeps me. Well, that sounds good, but it requires something else. The Bible says so. People say, I've got the word, that'll keep me. It's only part of it. When you make a cake, you put all the ingredients into it. You don't just put some of it in. And Jesus says in John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, one, and of the Spirit, two, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's two ingredients is needed, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And it says in the Amplified, Jesus answered, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot even enter the kingdom of God. So the water represents the Word of God. The Bible says that the washing of the water by the Word. The word by itself will not do it. Listen carefully. It won't work. You can study until all day and all night the word, and that's very good, and I recommend you do. But it takes more than just studying the word and knowing about the word. You need something else. The Bible's clear on this. So we need the washing of the water by the word. But the word by itself will not do it. The scribes and Pharisees knew the scriptures backwards. You know that they could actually quote the entire books of the Bible off by heart. They knew it. They didn't even have to reference it. They knew it so well. Now I've been told on how true. They get a scroll of the word and they roll it up like that. And they get a dagger and they push it through the scroll. They'll tell you which words it went through. Now I cannot verify that, but I've heard that. They knew it so well. But they turned around and crucified the Lord of glory. So it's not knowing, just knowing the word. It's got to be more than just knowing it. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13:2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, now that's a gift of prophecy from God, and understand all mysteries, you know all the mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have faith so I can remove mountains, I have not love, I'm nothing. You see, brother and sister, you've got to have the whole thing. We cannot just say, I believe it, therefore I got it. No, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. So we need his Spirit to keep us. I just want to read you something Brother Branham said here in the message called Invisible Union of the Bride. You can't serve God and mammon. We know that's the world. You cannot do it. You cannot be serving God and the things of the world. You can't be a virtuous, Bible-believing Christian, associate yourself with a denominational affair. You just can't do it at the same time. One's got to be dead and the other live. Neither can you bear God's word sons. Neither can the church bring forth. You won't want one of them, if it says here, you won't want one of them screaming children, shouting and speaking in tongues and all those things. No, they don't want that. You can't, what he's saying, you can't be in those churches and let the Holy Spirit move through you. They don't want that. Either one or the other. They won't have you. They don't bring them in like that. They take them up and shake their hands and say, if you believe, you've got it. And do you know, brothers and sisters, I've heard a lot of people in a lot of places believe that. Even in the message of the hour, if you believe it, you've got it. Sorry. You need to believe, but that doesn't mean you've got it yet. So what keeps us? We are kept by the power of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:5. We are preserved by the Holy Ghost baptism. Now, brothers and sisters, you need power on the inside of you to keep you. Many just repent and become sanctified, and they stop there. That is a very dangerous place to be. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. Oh, this is a sad story. People go back. They're entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Don't do that, brothers and sisters. You need to be kept in your faith. You need to be kept by the power of God. And Jesus said the very same thing in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places, seeking rest, looking for more accommodation. And he findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house. He calls this person that he was possessing his house. That's the audacity of Satan. He claims it as his house. We are not the house of Satan, we're the house of the Holy Ghost. Who believes this? Amen. We are his house. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God dwells in us. So here he is. He's been swept and garnished. He's all cleaned up. He's living right, dressing right, speaking right. But he doesn't get the Holy Ghost. You know, you can be a Christian, you can walk with a Bible under your arm, you can look really sanctified and say, I believe the Word and I'm everything, and it looks really good, but have you got the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul says. Since you believed, did you receive it? That's important. We'll speak on that in another series. Really important. So the latter end of this man is worse than the beginning. It's better if he never ever came in. But he's come in and he slipped back into the worldly habits and going back to his little jaunts, going back to those things he loved to do. And Jesus said, Matthew 12, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places seeking to find rest. And then he can't find rest. And we said before, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished when he comes back to this man that he came out of. He goeth and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, Jesus said. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Now, brother and sister, you need to be kept. You need a captain to be indwelling you. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to be in you. Don't stay empty. Be filled with the Spirit. It's just amazing. He said, yes, Brother Bram said, they don't want to be identified with them tongue-speaking people. That's the Holy Ghost itself. What happened then? When the enemy went out under sanctification, that was washed out, turned back and found the house not filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, that's the problem. They cleaned up, got their life cleaned up, but they never got the Holy Ghost. He remained empty. This is a warning to us all this morning. It's a warning to me. We all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, listen carefully. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The seal means it cannot be broken. Once you're sealed, you're in. Hallelujah. Once you're sealed, you're in. God's put the seal on there. No one can break it. You can't break it. The devil can't break it, and God cannot break it. It's his seal, the Holy Ghost. So we all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. There's another reason why you need it. The subject is, why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's overcoming power. The Holy Ghost in you is your overcoming power. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. He's indwelling you, in you, than he that's in the world. You won't overcome this world. It's too smart for you. It'll suck you in. It's very persuasive. You need the power of God on you to stand against it. We cannot go far in our walk without the overcoming power. Jesus said, for without me, you can do nothing. Does anyone know what nothing means? Means nothing. You can do nothing without him. And we need the Holy Ghost. I need more of it. Who wants more of the Holy Ghost? Oh God, may we thirst and hunger for it. It's his power on the inside of you. How many times do you feel almost overcome with the enemy? The Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord in you will raise up a standard against him when the enemy comes in like a flood. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And every bride member, everyone that's going in the rapture will have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not may do, they will have it. They have to have it. They can't get in there without that. Not saying that they're lost. I'm talking about being in the rapture. You need that quickening power on the inside. So he is our teacher. This is another thing why you need the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, you're just going to have to trust me. You need it. Otherwise you're going to believe all sorts of nonsense that screws up in your head, or things that people tell you about. You need the teacher. We can never fully understand the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. You can never receive the correct understanding of this message without it. You'll get it all messed up every time. You need the Holy Ghost to show you. The Bible clearly tells us no man can teach you. No man on this earth can teach you. Not even myself, Brother Branham, or anybody. We cannot teach you. Only the Holy Spirit can. A man can teach you mathematics and history, but not a revelation. In 1 John chapter 2, 27, let's read this one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The anointing which ye have received of him, what's the next two words? Three words. Abideth in you. You don't come to church to get it. It dwells in you. Amen. Back to the dwelling. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. He doesn't come for a cup of coffee now again. He comes in and he stays there. He's there for good. He's there for keeps until the day of your redemption. He's going to stay with you. Hallelujah. Who loves him?
Amen.
Do you love him, June? Isn't it wonderful? He dwells in you. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to the name of the Lord. So you don't need any man to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as he hath taught us, ye shall abide in him. That's interesting. He's abiding in us, and we're abiding in him. Like that. We're one with him. So the Holy Ghost was promised to come and teach every child of God. John 16:13. Let's write that down. And these scriptures are really, I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but it's really good to go back on it, because they are self-explanatory. John 16:13. Howbeit, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, not your pastor, not your prophet, not your great ministers, and they are all of God, every one of them. It says, when he has come, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Now, brothers and sisters, I have found this to be an absolute reality in my life. It's the Spirit of God in me that tells me what's right and what's wrong. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now we come to a very important thing, why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this is important for this age we're living in. Who knows what it is? You could all have a stab at it and you'd probably get it right. But he's come as a comforter. We need comfort. Otherwise we get down. Get depressed. We can't handle things. You need a comforter. Brothers and sisters, this is not imaginary. It's reality. When he comes into you, he'll comfort you. And Jesus promised to send the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. If there's ever a day we need a comforter, it's right now. This world is sick, has a sickness. I can't even look at the news hardly now. It's so corrupted and so filthy and unclean. At all levels, there's something wrong. In John 14:25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, Jesus said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Nobody can comfort you like the Holy Ghost. No one can do it like him. Once he comes into you, he stays there. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can read that in Hebrews 13:5. When he comes in, he stays there. That's why it's so important to get it now. That's why we all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now we come to a very important one. I'm just going through this so fast, but don't miss it. It makes you an effective witness. The bottom line is we must know what we're talking about. You must know your product, as they say. A salesman must know his product. And if you want to talk about the Lord, you must have experienced him to be able to tell others. Because they can tell whether you know your product or not. We first must taste and see that the Lord is good. We need power to be his witnesses. It says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judah and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, which is New Zealand. In fact, it's Gisborne. That is the uttermost part of the earth from Jerusalem. We're here. And he's here. Who believes he's here? We need him for a witness. And finally, we come to this very important one too. If we're taken up, we come into the wedding, we're lining up at the wedding door, you've got to have a garment on. It's before you can get into that wedding supper. You must have it on. You won't go past that wedding garment. Now listen to this. Your personal wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read you some things here. Brother Rand said, the Virgin Mary, before God would ever put the wedding garment on her, she had to go up on the day of Pentecost, get so full of the Spirit, till she staggered like she was drunk. Now, you ain't coming in anything less than that, he says. Just remember that. Yes, sir, you've got to get it too. He says here, oh, listen to this. Then if the wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how are we going to be represented any other way? If the first church age had to come in by the door, Jesus Christ, and be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to put on that wedding garment, how are we coming in any other way? So it's really important we do all that God says, repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Peter said. That's the formula. If you come in by the Methodists or by the Baptists or by the Pentecostals or any other denomination, you will be bound and cast into outer darkness. You've got to come in with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is your wedding garment. Then he says here, question and answer on the seals. Now take St. John 10, I believe it is. He said, I am the door. See, I am the door that ye enter in by. Now there he stands at the door, and there is a man to put that robe on him, the Holy Spirit to give him the robe of righteousness when he comes in. Now this man had to come. This man had come in by some organization. He's talking about the man there without one. Back at a window over there, some slip hole, he got in at the table and sat down. And when the bridegroom comes and he looks around, he says, and what are you doing here like that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all these things? How did you ever get in here? We know what happened. They bound him hand and foot and he was cast out. Brother and sister, if we want that to be at that wedding supper, we must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So to conclude, we come to this. And if you want to write these things down, you can. I was going to put it up on the screen, never got to do it. The conclusion is we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to keep us and preserve us in this evil day, number one. The keeping power will keep you. The Holy Spirit will keep you in this perverse generation. If you don't have it, you're very vulnerable. Also, the Holy Baptism of the Holy Spirit is to give you overcoming power against all the temptations that rear up in front of you every day. We're given it for him to be our teacher, guiding us through this confused age we're living in. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. Oh, it's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get upset and then you feel that sweet spirit moving, that is so wonderful. Who loves him? Isn't he wonderful? The comforter in a troubled world. Also, the power to be a witness. Witnesses. There's people out there just desperate. They don't know which way to turn. You know, they don't know where to go. And we have to be witnesses, but we've got to have the Holy Spirit to say, when you're speaking, they say, boy, this guy knows what he's talking about. That's why you need it. We need the Holy Ghost as our guarantee that we'll be there. It's God's own seal on you, sealed unto the day of redemption. We must have it to be raptured as the bride of Christ. It's God's wedding garment also for you and I to enter that wedding supper. Now, Brother Branham was asked this question once, and I thought it was good as we close. He said, the question was, will only those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost be in the rapture of the church? That was the question to Brother Branham. You know what his answer was? He says, I haven't got time to justify that. But brother, only the Holy Ghost bride will be in the rapture. So that's serious. We need to be sure we have. That's why every believer needs a baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to seek for it. Don't be put off. It is life itself. And Jesus said, and Paul said, and Brother Branham said, you must receive it. Why? Because you need it. Now, brother and sister, we're going to talk about how to receive it later, another session, and why people are held back It's just so simple. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, is to receive it, is very simple, but you must be sincere and mean it with all your heart. You can't come up to casual and say, people come to, I've had them by the hundreds come forward in other meetings. They come to say, oh, brother, how do I want to see the Holy Spirit? You know, almost chewing gum, almost, you know. They're not even prepared. You've got to be prepared to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't just live any sort of a life and just drift around. You need to have a walking close to God, a sanctified life, in a sense that you want to be clean. You may not be perfect, but you want to be. So as we think about these things, let us really ask God to reveal it to us. Why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Next question, the next one is how to prepare to receive it. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and how do we know we have it? Shall we just stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this morning, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that You'll make Your Word live in our hearts. It's, Lord, not a school lesson of studying and we have to do this, we have to do that. It's just what Your Word says. Lord, and those in the Bible that really wanted You, they found You. Even the thief on the cross found You. In his last hours, he found You. He didn't even have time to be baptized, Lord, or to be a good Christian. He didn't have time for all that. He just wanted You. And Lord, if we want You, we can receive You. Ask and you shall receive. It's free to all. You are more keen that we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost than we are to receive it. So, Lord, it's never on your end. Never. You've paved the way. You've been sacrificed. You've opened the door. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will help each one here to receive it and prepare to receive it. I pray there will be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost on this church and upon all those who are listening, wherever they may be, Lord. May you grant it to us, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Thou Christ, a burning, cleansing flame, in the hearts, in the hearts, in the hearts. Thy blood, Lord, and today we cleanse. In the fire, in the fire, in the fire, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. brother and sister, this is the truth. I speak this the truth. There are those that really want the Holy Ghost, and there are those that don't. And they'll hate those that have it. I know it's true. They burnt them to the stake. They are religious people that burnt them. You'll be persecuted because you have the Holy Spirit. But oh, it's so wonderful to have Him. You'll have Him. That's all that matters. So there's people that don't want it. They don't want to hear about it. They block their ears. Like Stephen. He said, repent, and he told them the truth. They blocked their ears, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. Why? His face shone like an angel, so full of the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't mean you're going to be accepted everywhere. But those that are God's children want it so badly. Others don't really care. Oh, whatever. Hey, I believe in it, but that's as far as it goes. They don't seek it. So I really encourage you, time's running out, to seek for it with all your heart. Let's just sing that again, that last verse. Brother Tim, would you like to come?
Receive it, Lord, and we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, and how he leads us and guides us, Lord, into all truth, Lord. Truly you do that, Lord. You bring us along the way, Lord, in all these confusing times, Lord, in this last day, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your mercy to keep us, Lord, your grace, Lord, in our lives, calling us, Lord, according to your good pleasure, Lord, and we just thank you for that. And we just pray a blessing, Lord, upon the food and the fellowship that we have this afternoon, Lord. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed.